I've been preaching for the last couple of weeks why the devil fights the church. You know why the one reason the devil fights the church? Is because this is the house of freedom. Amen. It's the house of liberty. The church brings people into their breakthrough. And number one, the church points people to God, and he hates that. Anything that God is doing, the devil is automatically against it. Amen? The enemy is automatically against what God is doing. In this preaching today, we're going to preach, and then I'll take some testimonies in between. I'll be calling some people, and they're going to share what God has done in their life. All right. Psalm 27, verse 4. Now, they don't even know I'm going to call them. So if you hear your name, just come up, and I'm going to tell you what to share, right? Because I know what I'm looking for. One thing, Psalm, let's all stand as we read together Psalms 27, verse 4. Now, I don't know if you guys remember a couple weeks ago I preached verse 1, 2, and 3. Did you guys remember that? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, Pastor, I was attempting to preach this sermon and I could have never made it there. So that's how that sermon came. That was not supposed to be a sermon. That was just a sermon on its own. But we're going to go to verse 4 today. Somebody, let's go. Let's read from 1. Let's read it together. We'll get the backup and then we're going to see what we're looking at. Verse 1. Oh, wow. You guys are very ready and active. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my light. Who is he? That's how you must read Bible. Don't go, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Oh, that's so boring. I don't even know what he's saying. The Lord is my light. He brightens my way. He shows me the way. Where there is no way, he points me in the way. So whenever you're confused, just declare, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The word salvation means to save you. He rescues you. And not only salvation means provision. He provides for you. He protects you. That's all part of salvation. Amen. The Lord is my what? Light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Give me the answer.
No one.
No one. Nothing. No entity. Not even the little devil.
Come on.
You know, sometimes we're not afraid of the devil. We're afraid of witch doctors. If you know somebody don't obey, you're frightened like tail. One day if they could do, one day if they could do me something. I'm not going to pass by that house. Something going to catch me. Am I talking to real people? I probably won't pass over there either because I don't want to prove nothing. But that doesn't mean that I'm afraid of it. Because I've had a consciousness since I was a little kid that people does witchcraft against me. I've just had that consciousness. Because once you're in the work of the Lord, the enemy is mad. The moment you get saved, the devil gets crazy. And he puts you on people's mind. But the word says, whom shall I? Now, don't stop coming to church because I told you that. Because the Bible says what? No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, what's going to happen? Say that again. No. That's right. You shall condemn. So you have the power to dictate things. Somebody say, hello, dictator. You have the power to dictate. No evil shall come nigh my dwelling. The Lord is the strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Oh, I'm strong. No, I'm strong in the Lord. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. It says the arm, the little hymn says, the armor of flesh will fail. Put no confidence in man. But where does our strength come from? Where does the strength come from?
The Lord.
Who do we boast in?
The Lord.
In the Lord. All right. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Who? Nobody. Now, next. When the wicked... All right, look at the answer to your little worries. When the wicked came against me to do what? To eat up my flesh, to destroy me, to wipe me out, to get rid of me. What happened? My enemies and foes. Oh my God. They stumble and what? They what? They stumbled. They were trying to come to you and they got tripped up and they don't even know why and they fell on their face. Though an army may encamp, you see, David is sharing personal stuff, but he's also writing from the perspective of a king. Most of us, armies don't come against us. Right? But here he's saying, though an army may encamp against me, because they're accustomed to going to war. They're accustomed to going to war. So here he's expressing his confidence even in the marketplace. When you go to work, no matter what comes against you, you'll be able to stand. People might be smarter than you. They might have more, not education, but they might be smarter in the field that you're in. But if they encamp against you, your heart will not fear. Amen. Though war may rise against me, in this, what it says now, in this I, where's verse 3? Right. In this I will be, now stop. He's going to be confident that the Lord is his light and his salvation. Whom shall I fear? So it doesn't matter what comes now against you, who comes up against you, what stations itself to oppose you, you remember that God will make a way. God will light your path. Because the Bible said the path of the just shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Meaning God has a time, God has a season for your promotion, and it shall take hold no matter what man says, no matter what your enemy says, no matter demons, nor principalities, nor powers, nor rulers of the darkness of this world, it shall take hold because you are remain confident in the Lord. So you're walking by faith, not by sight. Now let's go to verse 4. One thing I have desired. Oh my God. This is a king talking to us that wanted his kingdom to prosper, wanted his people to be blessed, wanted them to live in all the promises that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, wanted the safety of the land, wanted his enemies to be defeated. But here he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord. He didn't say that my enemies will be slaughtered. He knows that's going to happen. But he's talking about what he's going to do. He switched off from troubles and deliverance and victory to what he will do in his normal life. What he will do as an individual. He said, one thing I have what? Desired of the Lord. He said, I desire it, and it's not staying there. I'm going to do something about it. To seek is to actively go after a thing. To try to find it. You're searching, you're seeking out a needle, you're going to have to search really hard. But if you really need that needle, what you're going to have to do? Keep searching. Because the Bible says, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened. So if you're going to find it or you're going to achieve it, You're going to have to work hard for it. Amen? You're going to have to what? Work hard for it. So, let's go. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek. And what is it? That I may be rich and prosperous. Let's pray and you'll be seated. Father, we thank you for this word. Minister to us, transform our hearts and mind, change us. From glory to glory, fill us with your power, your anointing, your fire. Let us live victorious lives. Let us live as the head and not the tail. Let us be above only. Because that's what your word says. That we shall be above only. And we thank you and we give you all the glory, all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. He said that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That is the one thing this king wanted. You see, the starting of a thing is very important. Or I should say the beginning of a thing. Before David became king, he was a worshiper. Before David ever got waved of the news that he would become king, he was a worshiper. He was a man that enjoyed the presence of God. He's a man that loved to sing the praises of God. He's a man that loved to use the instrument. You see, musicians, don't take playing music as something you do. Being a musician in the church, it's not something to do. Music caused demons to run. Music can also entertain demons. But music caused demons to flee. Music caused the prophetic to flow. Music changes the moods of people. So when you're using your instrument in the house of the Lord, it is way beyond you say, oh, I'm just playing music. I don't really do nothing in church. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You're setting atmospheres so that people can enter into their breakthrough. People can enter into their freedom. And people can also adore the name of the Lord. You are ushering people into the presence of God. So that's why people that play music must be set apart unto God. Musicians ought to love playing music to the Lord. They must find pleasure when they can touch the instrument and create a song for heaven. Because what they're doing is letting the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So David was a musician. And he would sing and he would play. When Saul was in crisis. When Saul was in trouble. And he could not get rid of the spirit that came from the enemy. What he said, get me a musician. And David would go there and he would play the harp. And when he plays the harp, the evil spirit moves. So if you're here and you aspire to play music in the house of God, have the right perspective about being a musician in the house of the Lord. So David was a man that enjoyed the presence of God. That's why God could have trusted him to make him king. Because he loved God more than he loved being king. You think I love being a pastor more than Jesus? No. I love Jesus. I love worshiping the Lord. I love exalting God. I love receiving from God. I love to play my guitar. I know you guys don't see me playing guitar here because I don't play that good. So they tell me I can't play. But I love to play my guitar and worship the Lord. The guitar made Pastor Sher fall in love with me. I need to pull it out again. That's right, Mom. I actually remember those days. But yeah, I played music in church from I was a teenager. I played music until I was in my early 30s. I'm still in my 30s, so it hasn't been that long. It's just since they came to this nice big place, they don't want me to play the music anymore. But no, David loved the Lord, and he would worship God. So he said, after I know the deliverance of God, I have understanding of how great God is. He said, it all boils down to one thing. Have I desired of God? And I can't stop thinking, how does such a powerful man, have a desire like this? To be in God's house. Because he said, I love the fellowship of the saints. In Psalm 122 verse 1, he says, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. When you hear about church, how do you feel? When you hear that you have to go to church, how does that make you feel? What are the emotions that are released? It's like somebody that's hooked on coke. When they hear about coke, they get excited. Their blood start pumping. And whatever they got to do to do, they're going to sell. If they got to sell their mom on the street as a prostitute, goodbye, mama. I need my coke. And you know how much they like it? They leave their families and they go on the street. They leave who? You know, a lot of people that smoke crack had good jobs. They had good jobs, good position, professionals. But that feeling is so good. Mind you, it might be covering something up, and it's their lack of God that gets them there, but nonetheless, they're there. When we hear about church, most times you hear people say, church again? Not here, not you guys. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about the bad people on the street. People ask you a question, why are you going to church again? More church? Especially if you have unsaved loved ones in the home, they're going to say, oh God, man. You're like a church rat. No, you're not a church rat. You're an aristocrat in the spirit. Because the word of God says that you are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're set apart for the purpose of God. Man sees common, but God sees extraordinary. Man see you as common, but God says, this is the apple of my eye. And that's the revelation David had. That he understand who he was. He didn't mind being king. And he didn't mind not being king. Because when the glory of God came back to Israel, when the glory came back, and here our fast was the coming glory. When the ark was coming back to Israel, to the city of David, David took off his kingly garment. and went down to his ephod, and he danced, and he praised God, and he worshiped God, that his wife looked through the window, and she said, oh, look at my stupid husband. And when he came home, she gave him a good scolding. She said, oh, how has the king embarrassed himself? You see, she came from a carnal lineage. She came from a carnal lineage. She came from a lineage where being king was amazing. It was the best thing. Power got to the head. You know, you meet some people, they move up in life a little, and all of a sudden, psh. How is the air up there? And they forget the one that put them there. The Bible said the Lord puts up and the Lord puts down. Be careful how you stand, lest you fall. So she wasn't into the praising and the worshiping. And you know what it caused their family? It caused them the kingdom. They went into the dancing and praising and celebrating God. You know what that caused them? A royal lineage. Because they trade God for the things of this world. The Bible says a man's life does not consist with the abundance of things which he possesses, because it is temporary. Riches can take wings and fly. I don't know if you guys remember the story in 08 when the markets were crashing. Markets, we had that big market downturn. And this one French guy, he lost all his money because the stock market fell and the stocks he was invested in crashed. He jumped in front of a train and died. Why? That's where his hope was. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. But we will remember the name of our God. Why not hinge your life on someone that is eternal? Heaven and earth shall pass, but my word will remain forever. So David wasn't dancing because they got new territory. He wasn't dancing that they defeated their enemy. He wasn't dancing because they got good loot from the enemies they defeated. No, he was dancing because the presence of God was returning to the city of David. And he danced and he praised God because the man had one desire. One desire, one thing. Have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek for, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. All the days of my life, I can't wrap my mind how the king can say this thing. You know what? He must have tasted and seen that the Lord is God. Because if you didn't taste, it's like me and my black spice mango. If you didn't taste and know black spice was so good, you wouldn't pay for it. But I know the taste I was looking for. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now find me that scripture. Blessed. Blessed is the man that put his trust in the Lord. You know what blessed means? Blessed means happy. 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 You want to be happy? Get the Holy Ghost. You want to be happy? Come to the house of God. You want to be happy? Find yourself in church. You want to be happy? Well, look at this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Now, that's not the one I'm looking for. But taste and see the Lord is good. That's the one I'm looking for. I want to say that again. Psalm 34. That's the one I'm looking for. Psalm 34, verse 8. Who you think talking there? David. He said, I taste Bathsheba, but she didn't taste that good. I messed up. I allowed my lust, the lust of my eyes, to rule me. And I went and I got another man's wife, but it didn't turn out too good. Because I did the wrong thing. Yeah. Hello? People who love God can do wrong things too. That's why you got to guard your heart and guard your mind. You got to be in the right place at the right time. When kings, the Bible says, in the spring when kings went out to war, the king was in the wrong place. The king was at home when he was supposed to be at battle. That's why he got in trouble. Had he gone where he was supposed to go. That's why when there's time for service, don't be nowhere else. Don't. Let me tell you a nice story. Oh, Jesus, a sad story. When I was a boy, I was probably like 8 years old. There's this young man that used to come to church. Has a wonderful family. Wonderful family. Beautiful wife. Nice children. They were nice people. Nice. Nice guys. Nice, nice, sweet spirit and everything. But one day the Hindu temple was going to the beach on a Sunday. Now, he's a Christian. The Hindu temple in Williamsburg was going to the beach, their day of fun. He didn't come to church. He went with them. He went with them. Everybody came back. He went missing. He became the sacrifice. That's why it says, walk ye in the light as Christ, as you are in the light, and have no fellowship with the works of darkness. Now, it looks like just a simple story, but you know who punished? His family. I hope he's in heaven. I would hope that. At least he has eternal rest. He's fine. He's in heaven. He's good if he made it there. But when it's time to be in the house of God, don't mess around and go all over the place. I had a nice invitation yesterday. I could have been in Guyana preaching at a big youth camp with probably close to 1,000 young people. But the Holy Ghost said, no, you have your 24 hours set apart. Be in the house of God. You have your commitment. Now, the devil can set up all kind of nice opportunity even. So, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who what? Trusts in the Lord. You are set up in a system of blessing when you live for God. You're set up in a system of blessing when you serve God. That's what it says. Serve your creator in the days of your youth. Start from young. Now, if you got on the bandwagon halfway, thank God on it. But the people that got in when they're young, they know what it is to live a healed life. They know what it is to live a peaceful life. Because you miss a lot of the traumas that you're exposed to when you live outside of Christ. That's why guard your salvation. Understand how important it is. The king is telling us, the man of great wealth and status and power is saying, one thing I desire, that I may be in the house of the Lord. All, not some days. I can't wrap my mind around this thing. I just can't. He's saying, all the days of my life. Why? Why? The word dwell, now let's go. Let's look at the word dwell. The word dwell doesn't mean to visit. Now, to all those who are guests, we're happy you're here. God bless you. Thank you guys for coming. But this was planned before you decided to come, okay? The word dwell means to sit. To settle. to remain. So he's saying that I may remain in the house of the Lord. I may sit in the house of the Lord. Meaning, even when I leave church, I have a seat in church. Even when I leave the house of God, my intention is to be in the house of God. Are you tracking with me? To be settled, to be seated. Oh God. It means to marry. The word is Y-A-S-H-A-B, Yashab. You know when you marry, you can't just get out of it. Like if I want to go anywhere, Pastor should be like, no, you're not going nowhere. You are mine. We are one. You can't break commitment like that. What? You build house. You got together and you build a life together. So you can't just walk out anytime you want. You can't just give up on it and say, whatever, I'm out of this marriage. That's how we should be with our church life.
Amen.
If Pastor Cheryl tell me a hurtful word, I can't leave her. She told me a lot of stuff I didn't like for the last 19 years. She probably even cussed me. Let it out. She give it to me, hand it to me hot. Right? She probably even called me the B word and thing. I probably call her that too. Hello? You never cuss nobody in your mind? Good for nothing, wretch. Guess I'm so sorry. We love you guys. God bless you guys. I'm sorry, sis. Thank you. Somebody said yes in the back. But yet, I ain't going nowhere. Look at that. Are you with me? That's what the word mean. To be married to the house of God. When we think of the church must be personal to us. When I think about you ladies, I don't think that you're personal to me. But when I think about Cher, she is personal to me. Because I'm married to her. Are you with me? On that level. So when it comes to the house of God, it must be near, dear, precious. We mustn't take it lightly. We can't visit church, guys. You can't visit church. You can't. No, you may need, for whatever reason, you're not in a church, but when you find your church, when you find the house of God must be so precious to you. The house of God, you must love the house. You don't marry something you don't love. Why you think most, a lot of people say, they didn't find nobody they love? And don't wait for somebody to love you to marry them. That's problems. Hello? Don't say, oh, he loved me, so I marry him. Or she loved me, so I marry her. You're going to be miserable. Is that clear? Unless you're marrying for money and it's a lot of money. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Okay? But that's what the word dwell means. It cannot be broken apart. Your love for God's house must be so deep. Find me the scripture. The zeal of his house has overtaken me. Or eaten me up. Meaning, it's like when I used to, well, still Cher, but when I used to date Cher, go back to Cher. I couldn't wait to get off at 3 o'clock, Brother B. 3 o'clock couldn't come fast. I used to work at Walgreens. I stocked the shelf. I do all my work quick. So when 3 o'clock, we go out. Bye-bye. It's like I'm going to my drug. SNL? You know when I was young? Right? I can't wait for that time to go see Cher. Why? Because I was consumed with that love. I found somebody, I love them, and they love me, and I can't wait to be around them. You know how you're going to know the person you're going to get married to? You can't wait to see them. Hello? You can't wait to see them. Well, it looks like most of you guys are not in love, but it's okay. Oh, my single ladies. Oh, no, just kidding. Sister Pam, I can't sing that to you again. Can you find somebody you love? You understand, Mr. Andy? Yes. You found somebody you love. You can't wait to be with them. You can't wait to be around them. Let's go. Then his disciples remember that it was written what? The zeal for your house has what? Eaten me up. The zeal for the house of the Lord has. This thing is in the Bible. That is how we got to love the house of God. We got to be passionate for God and passionate for God's house. All right, we're running now. What else he said? That I may dwell, right? That's the dwell part. Then he said, so all the days of my life, not sometimes, but all the time, it's a lifestyle. You know, Muslims, they live around their mosque because they say they must be able to walk to the mosque. Jews live among, right around the synagogue so that on Saturdays they can what? Walk. It is a lifestyle. That is what I do on Friday. That is what I do on Saturday. But Christians go to the mall, go to the movies, go to the laundry, go to the park on Sundays. Oh, it's summertime past, so we can't come to church. Oh, you know, it's only hot a couple months of the week, of the year. Not you guys. You guys come to church. We take vacations, Pastor Shelly, long for a vacation. Wish she could stay away Sunday. We can't. We don't have the option. She longed that she could go on a vacation and stay 2 weeks. We can't. Because our commitment is to the house of God. Amen. We go on vacation. Church dictates the vacation. That's just our way. You could have it your way at Burger King anyhow you want. But that's just how we live our life. And if we're going on 2 weeks, we'll have to find a way to come to church and then go back. Unless God say otherwise. We go, come back, do God's work, and then continue the vacation. Because God has been good to me. I should have been dead at 3 years old. I should have been dead at 10. I should not have been standing in front of you. But God is good. God is faithful. So the zeal of God's house eats me up. It has. When something is eaten up, it's not there anymore. It's the house of God has taken me over. You know why? When it takes me over, my life becomes a living sacrifice. Others have the opportunity to encounter God. And what we do has eternal benefits. Everything else, if someone come and work with me, I give them a $200 a day, $250 per day. Oh, goodbye, bye-bye. They're going to spend that money out. It's done. But when I stand and I preach this gospel, the gospel opens up the kingdom of God to people. And they can change their eternal destiny. And not only that, they'll have a good life here. 100-fold here in this life and in the life to come. I just want to be like David. We said we want to worship like David, we want to sing like David, we want to dance like David, but do we want to go to church like David? I'm preaching you up this morning. I said, I'm preaching you up. I'm preaching you up. This is going to lift you up. This is going to change your perspective. Now you come to church and I don't pull you up. I'm not doing nothing good. Now, he said, dwell in the house of the Lord. It must become a lifestyle all the days of my life. Why? That I may be whole. Why do we come to church now? It's so that we see something. It's so that we see someone. He said that I may be whole. If I be whole, Pastor Abby, I'm looking at her. That I may see the beauty of the Lord. That I may be whole. I might uncover. And I may discover. And I may come to an understanding of who God is. A lot of people talk about God, but they don't know who God is. A lot of people talk about God, but they don't know God in person. They do not have a relationship with God. A lot of times you meet nice people at work. Oh, hi, Miss Pauline. Oh, it's so good to see you. Oh, hello. But now these two ladies, go live with them is hell. Come see me is one thing and come live with me is a whole different thing. So hearing about Jesus and knowing Jesus, two different things. He said that I may behold the majesty of God. And when it says beauty, this is what this word means. It's the word Noam. N-O, you go no, and then you say am, Noam, right? And he said that I may uncover the majesty, the elegance of God, the brilliance, the glory, the resplendence, meaning the impressive, or I may encounter God on a large scale. Because you can get saved, but not have encounters with God. You can know Jesus on, oh yeah, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, hallelujah, praise God. But then you can know God. And when somebody asks you about Jesus, oh my God, oh Jesus, I love Jesus. He's the best thing that happened to me. He empowered me. He filled me with his spirit. And he has given me power and authority over spirits and over demons. I could lay my hands on somebody and they get healed and they get restored. And when people are oppressed, I pray for them and joy comes, liberty. Because God is not limited to just salvation. Amen. This wicked alarm follows me everywhere around. Every Sunday it goes off. But yes, he said that I may know God. That's why I go to his house. That I may uncover. It's mystery. So mysteries has to be decoded. When you go into worship, mysteries reveal. Like we were at the 24-hour prayer, people had encounters. Come to say, fella, share your encounter quickly. Let's show why. Come, Pastor Ab, give her that mic right there. Quickly. You have 1 minute to tell us what happened at the 24-hour prayer.
So at the 24-hour prayer, when I first came, I really felt that just the spirit of the Lord like overflowing in my heart. Like I felt for the first time, I feel like the fire of the Lord. And my intention when I went was to go in, you know, my regular degular schmegular self and then come out speaking in tongues. That was the intention and what I was seeking the most. And then on Saturday, we had a moment where Pastor Sam was laid out on the altar and everyone was in silence just praying. And I just bent over and I like kneeled before God. And I had had other breakthroughs as well. I was praying really deeply because my family's not saved on Friday night. And I was praying really deeply about them. And then Pastor gave a word and I lost it when and was just an overflow about how our families will be holy. And it was a specific scripture. I can't remember the exact thing, but Deuteronomy 28. And I just Like the Holy Spirit was like, yep, that's for you. Your family will be saved. Because I was asking the Lord, I was like, I want to see it in the spirit. And I saw someone in my family that outside of seeing it in the spirit, I wouldn't have believed it, bowing and accepting the Lord Christ as their Savior. And I'm just holding that in my heart. That's one thing. And then Saturday, in that moment that I was talking about, the kind of silent prayer moment, I started speaking in tongues, like silently to myself. And the fear I had of it went away. So, yeah.
Amen. Thank you. So, you see what happened there? She's in the house of God. It was a moment of silence. Nobody was even on the mic praying. I was laid out. And I heard the Lord says, we're receiving the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Pastor. We're receiving the ministry. Now, when I go back to my Bible, pull up that scripture for me. 1 Corinthians. Where's my Bible? Give me my Bible. I'll be able to find it fast. I wrote it. I marked it off. This is what happens when you're in the house of God. Amen. My God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's going to be verse. Is it 3? Or is it 2 Corinthians? That's where we were? Well, 2. Thank you so much. All right. Here we go. It says verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 8. It says, how will the ministry of the Spirit. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Right? So we were there quietly receiving the ministry of the Holy Ghost. She got baptized with the Holy Ghost and she started to speak with tongues. Her fear of tongues. You know, a lot of people are scared of tongues. Because number one, it's kind of crazy to go ba 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 shakata la bako sakata katila broskataka. What kind of thing is that? This man wants to know. You see that? But that's the heavenly language. So she received it. Give the Lord a hand. Come on. Praise God. Come. Let's hear what happened to Tiana.
Good afternoon, church. So before fasting started, I told myself that I wanted to take this one more serious because.
Okay, hold on. So you see, both people came with an expectation. Right? They came with an extra. When you come to the house of God, don't just say, I'm going to. No, come to receive.
Yes.
Come with an expectation to receive something from God. Go ahead.
So I told myself, I'm going to wake up, read my Bible, pray to God, listen to my music and all of that. So that's what I've been doing this week. Friday, I was in the booth dancing and singing like how I always do. And then I don't know. I was just singing the song, just singing and singing. I looked at Pastor Sam, and it was like our eyes locked, and it was just like, come up here and let it out. So I ran out the booth. I started running up here. I started singing. I started praising, and it was just like something was coming over me. And then Pastor Sam was like, I forgot what he said, but he said something with like the fire in her body, and then I just started feeling my body burn. And then I started just saying out, 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 and just running up and down. And then I remembered Pastor Sam started praying for me. And then when I laid out on the floor, he came and he put his hands on my stomach. I knew that he walked away and his hands were off, but I still felt like there was hands on the spot he had his hand on.
And how do you feel?
After that, I felt more calm, felt like there was like a weight lifted off my shoulders.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you. So when we come into the house of the Lord, we come to behold. We come to uncover. We come to receive. Anyone had another great encounter yesterday that want to share it quickly? Quickly. Come, Sister Pam. Praise God.
So, good afternoon, church. Let me have some manners, too. So, before I came here, like, I started my fasting 7 days before you guys. So, when I went home, it's like, I was saying to God, break me. I want to be broken. Like, I want to submit in your presence. I just want you to take me over. And I was just praying for more intimacy, the word. And when I show up and Sister Cher texts me, like, are you going to pray? The same thing I was seeking God for, that was the area in which he asked me to pray.
Wow.
You know, and when I came to the altar, as I prayed, I lost my voice. But I felt at one moment I was out, and the Holy Spirit had consumed my body. Like there was fire burning all inside me. I was just shaking, like I was shaking and controlling, like I wasn't in control of my own body. And I just feel restored, like refreshed. I feel light. I was saying to somebody yesterday, I haven't prayed like that in a long time. You know, so.
Amen. You see that? So what? Things were lifted off of her. Lifted as you submit and you surrender to God. What? He does the work. You just give God opportunity. You find yourself in the house of God because it is an opportunity for God to do something. David didn't say that I'll go to church to see my friends. He didn't say that I'm going to just go down. He said, no, that I may behold the splendor. I may behold the power. I may behold the majesty. My God. Ah, Jesus, this word, it depicts the attractive. Look at this. The attractive splendor of God himself drawing the worshiper into intimate communion. So we got to come here to behold. He said that I may inquire that he can come to church and he can focus on God. He can come here and focus. When you come to the house of God, yeah, people might be looking nice around you. People might be well dressed, this, that. Don't get distracted by nothing. Don't get, even a baby is crying, babies cry like babies cry. Somebody's going to take care of the baby. You're not the church's babysitter. Somebody's having a deep encounter. Don't cut your connection with God. We have ushers that will take care of them. You stay locked in. You stay focused because you're here to inquire of God. Are you with me? So that I could focus, I can behold, I can gaze, I can contemplate, I could think of God's goodness to me. Sunday is a culmination. After you've worked, you know, you come and you look at God's goodness. You look at God's faithfulness. You look at God's provision. You look, even you have a need, you lay it out before God. And you say, God, this is where I want to see you move in my life. So when you come and meditate. Lock out the noise. Don't be here thinking about Formula One racing at home. Don't be thinking about NASCAR. Don't be thinking about basketball. Don't be thinking about football. Don't be thinking about cricket. Don't be thinking about your dinner. You're going to get food. Sister Latoya says she had to malice food. Because she wanted to fast and she liked to eat. So Elijah was common just like us. So when you think you like eat, you're not alone. You have a friend over here. That means God is going to use you. Are you with me? Ooh, mighty God. To consider his faithfulness. In the house of God, the distractions of life are not present. That's why we seek to take the kids away from parents so that you can focus on God. Your TV is not in front of you, so what you're addicted to, you don't have to watch it. You should put away your phone. Don't have your phones whilst you're in church. Don't be texting your friends. Say, oh, yo, we'll meet up later, bro. I'll see you right after church. Don't go on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and checking up. Listen, the world will be here after you left. Amen. Don't read your credit card statement in church. Your debt will be there after you leave. Oh, let me check if my money came in. If your money's going to come in, it's going to come in. But you inquire of God. Meditate on the Lord. Fix your thought on him. Focus on God. He said, how do you think you're going to have good success if you will meditate on this word? And it says to be, find the scripture, to be careful. Be careful. Meaning, be intentional. Don't treat the house of God as quesara sara. This 3 hours you're here, be intentional, stay locked in, because this is what sets you up for victory all week. Are you with me? So be careful to meditate, be consumed. Be consumed and focus on whatever is happening. When it's time to worship, worship, because worship is not coming back. When it's praise time, praise God. When it's giving time, give. When it's greeting time, greet. Now, I want to show you a greater level. All this David did and said under the old covenant. All of this he did and said under the old covenant. Let's go. You could take a note of Joshua 1:8. You can read it on your own. He did it in a place of limitation because of hunger and passion for God. Let us not make, you know, sometimes we get carried away because accessing the things of God is so, it becomes very normal to us. Because we didn't have to join an exclusive club. We didn't have to pay big money to come into the church. We didn't, anybody had to pay to join the church?
No.
No. You know why Catholics are so committed? They don't get First Communion for free. You don't christen your baby for free. Whatever you pay for, you value. Why do you think people reverence the Obia man? Because you got to pay him. You can't transact business with the Obia man without money. Anybody ever went to an Obia man for free? Put up your hand. Did you say yes in the back? Everybody looked back there like, I want to see that one. But yeah, what you pay for it, you value. Don't mash my shoes, I pay for it. You don't know how much your shoes is. Is it, you tracking? Good. So because we access it so freely, but Jesus paid with his blood. How much more should we treasure it? Amen? All right, let's go. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, therefore, brethren, since we have what? Confidence to enter where? The holy place. Now, in old covenant time, they could not have gone to the holy place unless they were pure. They had to have done ceremonial washing and purification before they could enter the holy place. This is not even talking now about the most holy place. They could not even get in here without sanctifying themselves. There's a scripture in 2 Chronicles, when Hezekiah restored the temple, even the priests could not go in because they did not purify themselves. The priests could not have gone in because they were not clean. They didn't do the ceremonial washing. But look what we have. It says, therefore, brethren, who? Who? Touch your neighbor. Say, hello, brethren. We are brethren. Touch somebody. Say, we are brethren. Right? So this is for all of us. Now let's read together now. Therefore, brethren, having what?
Boldness.
Having boldness. So are you going in shamefaced?
No.
Are you going in feeling less than? Are you going in feeling like, oh my God, I'm not good enough?
No.
Having boldness to enter the holy place by what? Now, did you get in there free?
No.
Oh, thank you. Somebody got it. We did not get into God's presence free. That's why not everybody can go into the presence of God. If you're not saved, God don't even hear you. You know that? You can talk about Jesus all you want. God don't even hear you. The Father don't hear you. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You have to call the name of Jesus if you're even going to get to God. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yeah, somebody should have said it. Praise the Lord. All right, we're learning. That's good. Quietness is a sign of learning. You have to be quiet to learn. Right. We enter through the blood. We don't go in shame. We don't go in with fear. We don't go in timid. We don't barely squeeze in. Oh, God, here comes me. Oh. No, you go in boldly because the payment was made. When you go on the aircraft, you don't go. When they say, where's the boarding pass? You don't have to do like, I forget the lady name. But yeah, you don't have to go. When they ask you for your boarding pass, you go, here you go. I paid for my ticket. My seat is already prepared. I'm ready to board the plane. Get out my way. Give me my seat. Bring me my drink. And if you got a piece of cookie, bring it too. You go in with boldness because the price. Now, if you're on standby, you're nervous. Are they making an announcement? Is there a seat that open up? You can't go in on that flight boldly, no matter how much you try, no matter you think you're somebody or you're a nobody and you want to play big and bad, they're going to kick you off. You're not even going to make it on. I'm so sorry. Security is going to escort you to somewhere you don't want to go. But when it comes to the things of God, how do we go? How do we go? How do we go? Boldly, with confidence. Verse 20. By a new and living way. Oh my God. Oh Jesus. By a new and a living way which he consecrated for us. How? Through the veil. Through the veil. Through the veil. He let us in by his blood. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn. What separated us from God opened up to us. So now we can enter in boldly through the veil. Not standing on the outside and hoping to receive the glory from the inside. But now we have access through the veil. That is whose flesh? Jesus' flesh. When he went to the cross, he paid the price. He paid the price so that you and I can enter in. And look here, he's our high priest. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us what? What the word says? Let us draw. Wow. Considering what Christ has done for us. And he has paid the price. We shouldn't stay far off from God. We shouldn't let the things of God be distant from us. We shouldn't distance ourselves from the house of God. We should embrace the church. We should embrace what God is doing. We should be in the river swimming, being active because the price was paid. And he encourages us. He said, let us draw near with a true heart. I can't break all that down, but I'll talk quickly. A new and a living way was inaugurated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. 21. Let's go back. And having a high priest over the house of God, 22. What version are you guys playing there? God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full. Now, how did we come? Boldly, earlier, when you go into the presence of God, you don't have to feel less than. You're going with assurance. You know, we sing, blessed assurance. Jesus is what? No, not Jesus, blessed assurance. Jesus is my neighbors. No, Jesus is yours. He invites you to eat at his table. He said, if I knock at the door, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man opens, I will come in and I will sup. Meaning, I have a big feast ready for you to come and eat and enjoy. And eat that you might have life. And you may have life more abundantly. Having your heart sprinkled from. Now, this is what David was speaking to us. And he didn't have a clear conscience. But today, you and I, when we get forgiven, the work that the Holy Ghost does, he lifts the burden of sin. When you get saved and you learn what Christ has done for us, he washes your conscience. That's what people can say, wasn't you this old big dirty sinner? How come you telling me about Jesus now? But because he took your sins and he rolled it in the sea of forgetfulness, even you don't remember it. You don't live based on that. You are a new creation in Christ. And now you and me used to go act tree. You understand me? No. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Because what? My conscience, my evil conscience was dealt with. And our bodies are washed. Not with Irish Spring, but pure water. Meaning the waters of heaven. When Jesus died, it pierced his side, water gushed up. So that we all can be washed by that eternal water that flowed from his side. Are you with me? Washed with pure water. Now, look at this. Verse 23. Let us hold fast. Grab a hold. Grip it. And don't let it go. Our confession of our hope without wavering. Are you saved? Yes, I am. I was bought with the blood. I was washed with living water. Check me out. How you know you're going to heaven? Because the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. How do you know that's true? Because all scriptures are inspired, were inspired by God, and it's profitable for me. It does me good. So I hold fast the confession of our hope without what? Without what? Without wavering. Without being tossed around, one up, one down. No, for he who promised. Why can you hold this promise? Why do you not waver? Because I wasn't promised by a man, but I was promised by God. Amen. For he who promised is what? He is what? God is faithful. And you know how good it gets? Even when I'm not faithful, he's faithful. Hello? Even when I mess up, he's still God. Even when I fail him, he never failed me yet. So what if you mess up in your sin? He says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. If you sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And to what? Cleanse us with the same water, the same spiritual water. He cleansed me again. How does he cleanse me? From all unrighteousness. All right, good. So how are we going to come? Hold fast to our confession of hope without wavering. For he who promises faithful. David did not have the blood of Jesus. David was longing for this day. When salvation, he was longing for this day. When salvation would come. When we would be able to enter through the veil. Even him, he couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. He could not go there because he was not the high priest. So he still had limitations on it. But he loved the presence of God. And he wrote us and he told us the zeal of the Lord has consumed him. Let's go. For he who promises faithful. Verse 24. Let us consider who? One another in order to what? Stir up. Now, somebody said, came and testified. Oh, what's this here, Vella? And she said, Sister Katasha stirred her up to come to the 24-hour prayer. Isn't that true? Very true. Somebody stirred somebody up to be in the house of God. We stir people up all the time. Oh, let's go to the park. Let's go do this. Let's go hang out. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do. Why not tell somebody to come to the house of God? It says, let's stir one another up to what? Love. And to what? Good works. A lot of times when people get together, they get together to tear people down. You ever hear people having loud conversations on the phone at work? Oh my God, you don't know what he did to me. Oh my God, I hate her. She thinks she's all of that. But you never hear somebody say, oh man, I love Sunil, man. Sunil is a great guy. He's such a good guy. You know, I can't wait to, you know, see my bro, bro. My bro's a good bro. No, you never hear that? Most of the people get together to tear each other down. When we come together, the Bible says we should stir each other up to love one another. To look into someone's interest. How can we be a blessing to somebody? How can we help somebody? A young person in the church, what help do they need? How can we help them? Oh, let's see if they need school supplies. Let's see if they have everything ready to go back to school. Oh, they're going off to university. Oh, do you need a textbook? Do you have all your textbook? Can I help you? Oh, I may not have 250 to buy, but here's 50. Put it towards it. Stir up each other to love and good work. Because we came through the veil. We're on the inside. We have all the goodness of God. Okay. Now let's go. We all know this verse. But what I love is how this verse came about. Paul says, after you have all that you have, all the blessing that you've had, all the goodness, it says something. Let's go to 25. Not forsaking the assembling. Not considering how good God has been. All that was accomplished for us. I can't go too far. All that was accomplished for us. All that Jesus did with his blood and his body. He says, not forsaking the assembling. Oh my God. Not forsaking the coming together as believers. As is the manner of some. So when you're in church, you're going to find the people that say, you know what? I'm not going today. Why are you not going today? I'm just not going today. Why you got to question me? Who made you judge? The word says don't forsake the assembling of yourself. I'm talking to you based on the word of God. Why are you not in church? I just don't feel like to go today. I'm taking a day off. And you hear preachers preach these things. Sometimes you just need a little time off from church. Those devils. That's doctrines of devils. Tell them Pastor Sam said that. Let them come right up on my Instagram and on my Facebook. Are you tracking me? Yeah. Because David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek for, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Yeah. And the word says, not forsaking the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day, not Sunday. You see, it's in capital. There's a day that's coming. Just like in the days of Noah, when they ran to the ark and they knocked the ark and they said, Noah, open to us, open to us, open to us. We want to come in. It's raining out here. Alligator is chasing me. Tiger is running off of me. Snake is trying. Knocking, and they're trying to get in. And he said something important. He didn't say, I can't open it. He said, God has shut the door. God has shut the door. There's the day of the Lord. When right now the grace of God is being poured out. But there's a day when the vengeance of God will be poured out on all flesh. All flesh. It don't matter how nice wig you have. How nice makeup you have. Or how big is your biceps and six pack. Or if you drive a Benz or you drive a Corolla. It doesn't matter. The vengeance of God. You could live in a shack or you could live in a mansion. The vengeance of God will be poured. Because the Bible said the grace of God is revealed to all men. There is no excuse. There is no excuse. One way or the other, you're going to hear about Jesus. And if God got to reveal himself to you, he will do it so that you, on the day of judgment, you can't say you didn't know. As we see the day, as we see the day approaching, let us be circumspect. Let us be wise. Let us not walk like fools. Let us not walk like fools. Let us understand the treasure that we have. That we have access into the throne room of God. That we can pray and God can answer. We can pray and God can turn things around. He said, call upon me, I'll hear and answer. And I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. Amen? So there is no option when it comes to the house of God. We have to.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you another thing. Don't fight the house of God.
No.
Fight anybody else you want. But don't you dare fight the house of God. You know why? He says, I am building my church. Jesus said, I am building my church. And the gates of hell. So if you fight against what God is... You know, there are some people that take it as a personal responsibility to fight the church. They're so egotistical and they feel like they have such power. Because they might have some influence, but they got no power. And they might be influencing the 12 people that's across the street, but they ain't got no power. They got a big bark. But my God, every man will have to stand and give an account before God for what they have done in the body. So set yourself up against anything, but I want to save you some trouble. Don't fight God's house. Don't fight God's house. Because there were some people, Ananias and Sapphira, they decided to fight God's house. You know how they fight it? By lying. They said, here comes Apostle Paul. This is the money we sold the land for. And they present the money. This time they took some of the money for themselves. And they said, this is what we sold it for. That's fighting the agenda of God. Not showing up in church and just being lackadaisical, doing whatever you want, whatever. That's fighting God's house. Indirectly fighting God's house. Don't fight God's house. Cooperate with what God is doing and what the Spirit of God is doing, and watch what God will do in your life.